This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 42b through 48. Luke, chapter 8, verses 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace."
This passage appears in three of the four Gospels, so the Lord wants us to look at it more than once in our life. And actually, in the book of Mark, there are details that are illumine some of what's in Luke. But I want to turn to Luke in order to focus on a particular thought that's there. We will look at the passage in Mark as well, as we see this woman who was given faith. The Lord Jesus gave her faith, but it was in a difficult context. And she suffered much. But God gave her faith, and that faith found its focus in Jesus Christ, and she became a triumph of his grace and a testimony to us for 2,000 years. She bore a difficult time. She went through great struggle, great embarrassment, great suffering. But God was pleased to put her through that, and by giving her faith, made her a wonderful testimony to his grace. We want to look at her today. We looked at another woman like that, who, rather strange woman that was not even an Israelite, we looked at the last time, and one wonders how she even came to know the gospel, but we see that she did. And we see that in her need, she, out of that need, came to Christ and demonstrated the power of the gospel in a wonderful way. And the amazing goodness and mystery of Christ. Well, we see something of that in this woman too. So we want to see it another trophy of God's grace in this woman. We want to see this morning the context of the woman's faith. We want to see the special nature of her faith. We want to see Jesus' challenge, and we want to see something of the result. So there's four things we want to look at as we consider this passage. We'd like to focus before we pray upon verse 48, where it says, "Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.'" Let's ask the Lord to help us to appreciate this passage. Great God, we know that this is important in your mind as you move by your Holy Spirit to record it in three of the four Gospels. Lord, as we turn to it today, we pray you'll help us to see it afresh. Oh Lord, minister to us, help us. Is not your word given to instruct us, to teach us, to guide us, to correct us, to speak to us, to comfort us, to bless us? Haven't you given your word to meet our need where we are? Lord, we come with you, to you, with needs this morning. And we pray that you'll be pleased to use this passage to speak to us, to encourage us, to help us, and to guide us. And especially to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see who he is, our hearts are strengthened. So help us in this hour today, we pray, and bless us by your Holy Spirit. Have you not promised to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And have you not told us that it is giving him that enables us to behold Jesus? Oh Lord, we want to see him today. We would see Jesus. Bless us now and encourage us together, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Like to see the context of the woman's faith, and it was a faith that came after years of long suffering. The woman, it says in verse 43, that the woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. but no one could heal her. That is a very long time to suffer. The Lord, who was giving her faith and bringing her to be this tremendous testimony, did so out of a context of long suffering and difficulty and perplexity. And the woman was there before us, suffering long and embarrassingly. That's one of the things that ought to hit us as we see this passage. She was embarrassed for 12 long years. You should get embarrassed yourself when you think about the nature of her struggle. How do you talk about that? When this passage comes up in 7th and 8th grade Bible, and someone might wonder what's going on there, bleeding for 12 years. You know, that's hard to tell them. It's hard what to say. How do you deal with that? A child says, what does that mean? And you say, it's bleeding when you go to the bathroom. And the little kids freeze and let it go. That's enough, because that's a little hard to talk about. It's kind of embarrassing. And that was her problem. Who does she share it with? Does she tell everybody? And she had a broken arm, they'd pray for a broken arm. Financial problems, they pray for financial problems. How do you pray for this? And here's a woman for 12 years has borne something that made her ashamed. And the scripture speaks about that in a way that makes you wonder, can I even go into the presence of God and worship? You look in Old Testament texts and you think, well, what makes a person unclean? Does this say that I'm unclean for 12 long years? A woman with a heart for God. And feeling excluded, feeling embarrassed to talk about the problem that she had. She looked all right. What's she upset about? She's going to tell people. Now, we may say, oh, there's a different cultural thing and people looked all that differently, but I'm afraid I don't believe that. No, I think in any culture, this is something that would be a grief and a difficulty to bear. And she bore that for 12 long years. In the face of one disappointment after another. I want you to turn for just a moment to a Mark passage, because there's a wonderful insight there that Luke didn't share, and maybe for a reason. Remember, Luke is known as the great physician. So he doesn't include something that Mark does include. Look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 26. Chapter 5 and verse 26 of Mark. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Now, some people have said, is there a reason why the great physician didn't mention that part of it? Because it's talking about this fact that she had done everything you can do. There's some things it's embarrassing to go to the doctor, but you get used to it. But 12 years and spending all the money you've got and not getting any better but getting worse? This is hard. And as we think of this healing, we ought to think about the woman. What did she go through? What did Jesus put her through? Jesus is going to meet this woman's needs. Jesus is going to glorify himself in this woman's life. He's going to show his amazing power, his wonderful compassion, that he's not ashamed of us. Though we're ashamed of ourselves, he's not ashamed of us. He's going to show the kindness that he shows. He's going to show the way in which, at a word, he can heal a problem that nothing can heal, that no one can heal. He can do the thing that's impossible. He's going to show that. He's going to display that. But in order to display that in a way that warms our hearts and makes us worship Jesus, in order to display that, he puts this woman through 12 years of embarrassment and pain and struggle and disappointment. And she goes through that all this time and still trusting in God, somehow still holding on, still having some hope that maybe everything will be all right. But dear ones, that is a long time to wait. And Jesus put her through that. Do we have to somehow get Jesus off the hook? No, Jesus was preparing her to be a tremendous testimony of his power and grace and cause people for thousands of years to look to him and his glory. And that's what we're doing today, looking to him and his glory. But it's well to look back and see, this is what this lady went through. And this is what Jesus put her through in order for her to be the kind of testimony that we people would be talking about in another culture, another language, another world, 2,000 years later. What an amazing reality it is. But it's some terrible things she went through. And we're looking at that. The context of her faith was long years of suffering, long years of embarrassment, long years of weakness, long years of feeling excluded, long years of wondering if she could even so much as approach God, thinking that perhaps she's not even qualified to come into the temple, standing there, difficult to talk to others about the things she's struggling with, long years. This is a tremendous context in which we see a woman that came to faith in Christ and looked to him. Disappointment, frustration, 12 long years, expense, lost all her money, and no help. This is the condition. This is the context in which this woman came to Christ and was healed. And Jesus was in it. Jesus purposed to make this woman a glorious testimony of his grace. Let's think, secondly, about the special nature of her faith. It was a thoughtful faith. I'd like you to look again at Mark. You might even wonder, why didn't we just preach it from Mark? Well, I want to look at something in Luke especially. But in Mark chapter 5, look at verses 27 and 28. When she heard about Jesus, this is Mark 5, 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She's thinking beforehand. This isn't an impulse. She thought about this. She thought, what about me? I see what he's doing. I've heard something of his words. People are healed. He could heal me. She thinks about that. She plans a way in which she might get close enough, and she really, I think maybe from years of feeling so excluded, she doesn't even think in terms of being like the blind man at the side saying, Son of David, have mercy upon me. She's not going to say a word. And what does she need to? Look at him. I don't need to do any more than touch him, and I'll be healed. She's a thoughtful faith. She's thought through the thing. She's probably excluded herself from being the attention and publicly coming to him. She hasn't publicly done anything. She's just slunk around and got as close as she could to where she hears the word of God, and her faith has been strengthened and she's heard, but it's at a distance. Is she even clean enough to go to a Bible study? Well, people don't know. I mean, that's what she's had all this time. But she hears of Jesus and she's got a thoughtful faith. And it realizes who he is, and that all she needs to do is touch him and she'll be healed. It's a thoughtful faith. It's a wonderful faith. Out of a context of real suffering, real grief, real abandonment, a sense of isolation. A wonderful faith that she had. It's a thoughtful faith. It's a private faith. Now, she may have had close friends she could talk to. It was a context in which family was more than it is in our day, perhaps. Maybe there were people that she could talk to. But she certainly appears very alone in this. And it doesn't look like she drew near to her nearest buddy and her buddy encouraged her to go to Jesus. I think this is a private thing. She's thinking about this. Not everybody has people to advise them. Not everybody has those that draw near and say what they should do. There are many people that even have loved ones that never get very close, and maybe themselves are a little embarrassed. How do you deal with a person that's sick for a long time? Do you know what to say? And maybe her own loved ones kind of praying for you, they might say, but I would say a lonely and a private faith that she had. Can that be a valid faith, a private faith? One that you, at work, you work through yourself and you come to an understanding of who Christ is and you personally believe that he is what he says he is and you personally do in your heart look to him in hope. Could that all be private? Would it have to have somebody coming near to witness to her about Jesus? Well, the disciples hadn't been sent forth in the same way yet, and I don't know, they had been preaching to some, and well, I don't know how she came to all this. I don't know what she got that made her conclude that this was valid, but she didn't talk to people about it. She didn't share with anybody the fact that this was going on in her mind. Maybe you're here today with, there's a lot going in your life, and you're not talking to anybody about it. God could bring somebody here under the sound of this message where there's a great deal going on. Nobody else knows. God knows. You're working something through. You're thinking. You're wondering. You're hoping. And then you're dashed in your hopes, and you think maybe, and then you think no. Maybe there's somebody, you know, it's even possible here. You're all here because you love Jesus and want to praise him. Yes, and that's wonderful, but you know, even in such a context, there may be some that have come in without all of that going on inside them and really wondering and thinking and maybe don't feel you have gotten from God the power that you need yet. And you could have such people here today, even in the midst of people that know you and love you, because there's a secret place within all of us that's terribly lonely. And basically are struggling ourselves. You know the secret person inside you that's struggling. Struggling today. Struggles every day. Much of it's very quiet. And nobody knows. I love the Nikro hymn that says, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. And that may be a comfort to you too, because there is that within you. Nobody knows but Jesus. Well, Jesus did know about this woman's struggle. And he's moving her to that place of finding help in him. Now, of course, she doesn't realize he's moving her because he doesn't say, lady, come here. No, she finds her way there. She's not saying, yes, sir, you called. No, she doesn't feel he called. So she comes in. She figures her way that she's going to get close. And she somehow gets into the crowd and reaches through. And they probably wonder, what's going on here? Well, she reaches through because she just wants to touch his cloak. And she feels healed. And she knows within her that she's healed. She has it. What she has longed for is hers. And she's ready to slink away. And Jesus says, who touched me? What would you feel like in that situation? You're not wanting to be noticed. And it really isn't anything that would have to be noticed. And you're hoping that you can just quietly slink away and watch it happen in your life, that you get better and all that. And then somebody said, who touched me? And you don't know, what does he really mean? And even the disciples say, Lord, what do you mean, who touched you? The crowd is thronging around us. You're being jostled the whole day, the whole trip you've been jostled. Lord, how can you say? And he said, no, someone touched me. Jesus knows when you touch him. He knows when you lay hold of him. And you could be a nobody. And you could be somebody nobody else cares about. You could be somebody that nobody knows your struggle. Nobody knows what you're going after, you're dealing with. Nobody knows the depth of the things you struggle with, the things that embarrass you. Nobody knows. But Jesus knows. And he knows when you touch him. And this woman, Jesus knew when he touched him, when she touched him. It's wonderful. What an encouragement. Do you have a burden today? Do you have an embarrassing burden today? Touch Jesus. Reach out to him. Lay hold of Christ. He will know you did. And he's able to make you know that you're well. With all those struggles, with all those difficulties, with that years of doing it wrong and being cast out and feeling unworthy. And Jesus knows it all, and this may be the very day that he's purposing you to reach out and touch him, and he'll know you touched him. Your life changed. Wonderful. Wonderful what can take place under the preaching of the gospel. It's amazing. The power that the gospel has to reach the person that seems to be so far away that nothing can reach them. Did you think you're that far away? Did you feel that it's all a waste of time and you never really have gotten it, and you hope that maybe it might be true for something, but you're not sure? Come today to Christ. Touch him. Lay hold of him. You'll know you touched him. And you'll know you touched him. Well, this woman, This woman had a thoughtful faith. She had a private faith. She had a humble faith that didn't want to call attention to herself. And that may be true for you too. You don't want to call attention to yourself. It's not about me. Well, that would be... She saw how popular Jesus was, and the attention was to go to him, and she would be willing to say, it's not about me. But this is about her and his dealing in her life. Maybe some of you, there's hope that God has touched your life and there is some work going on inside, and you, well, you're humble and you're not moved to say much. And maybe you just quietly touch Jesus and you'll be healed. There could be somebody here this morning that has quietly touched Jesus. You haven't publicly declared your faith in Jesus, and you certainly haven't gone through the waters of baptism, because that's a little scary perhaps. But maybe you have touched Jesus. You've got a private faith. Has it touched Jesus? Maybe it has. Well, this woman's faith did touch Jesus, but he said those words, "Who touched me?" And she freezes. And she hopes that, well, she hears what the disciples said, that the crowd's pushing you. What do you mean? And maybe that will do it. And he says, no. Power went out for me. Who touched me? And so we have her responding. And look what it says in verse 45. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has come out for me. I know that power has gone out for me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. She did not come boldly forth to declare the wonders of what God had done for her. She came trembling and fell at his feet. You know, sometimes a young person is a little bit, has a problem, because some people who have come to Jesus have such a powerful and a bold testimony, and they say how they were involved in sin, but God transformed their life, and now they're here to testify to the wonder of what Jesus has done. And you're there, and the best you can do is trembling at his feet. And you don't have that kind of boldness, and you can't come to declare the great things God has done. And you don't have the charisma to stand up in front of people and say these wonderful things and say, it's not glory to me, it's glory to Jesus, and all these things. You can't do that. You sit there trembling at his feet. Are there people that are here today like that? Sometimes young people go through that, where they're trembling at Jesus' feet. They've come to him. They believe in him. But stand up and say so. Be baptized. Sometimes that's the struggle. You never know what people are struggling with. She was trembling at his feet. But he wouldn't let her off the hook. She'd have liked him to let her off the hook. Maybe he could have said it for her. He wouldn't say it for her. Jesus has already put her through 12 years of suffering, 12 years of rejection, 12 years of embarrassment, 12 years of not wanting the attention, and now Jesus says, you got the attention now, and you're gonna talk. That in itself could have been a trembling experience for her. Well, she was trembling. What's it like to stand up and say things? Maybe some of you are afraid of that. Maybe you can remember being afraid, and it was hard to get to that point where you're willing to testify. But it says in the passage, verse 47, in the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. How much detail did she go into? She probably softened it as much as she can. She would have said, I had a problem with bleeding for 12 years. And I had given up hope that I would ever be healed until I thought that Jesus could heal me. And I thought that he could. And I reached forth my hand. And I wanted to be not known, but I touched him and he did heal me. And he did change me. And I do feel within myself that I'm healed. And she may not even have said it that well. I didn't say it that well just now, but maybe she didn't even say it that well. Because people that are in her situation may not be able to speak very well and may not feel very confident. But she told the whole story of what she had felt and what had happened to her and what Jesus had done for her. Jesus challenged her. Who did this? Gave her a panic attack. Then insisted. Brought her there and said, "Speak. Say the great things God has done." And she did that. She wanted to slink away. She was embarrassed, but she spoke. And Jesus got the glory for having healed her. And she declared it publicly. He was the one. Now, would she have been healed if she hadn't spoken? Well, it says she was healed. But Jesus wouldn't let that happen. You could say, well, could she have just gotten out of the crowd and gone home? Would she still have been healed? Well, if Jesus healed her, then she was healed, she'd be healed. But he wouldn't put up with that. No matter how she felt, she was to stand and declare publicly what God has done. That's what Jesus put her through. And that might have been almost as hard as the 12 years she spent abandoned, seemingly abandoned, to have to stand up in front of all these people and actually say something. But she said it. And what was the result? Well, the result was personal encouragement from Christ. When she does that, she speaks as how she was instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." She hears the words of Christ that say to her, "You are healed." Now, that's more important than feeling healed inside. It's the word of Christ that declares you're healed. She didn't realize how important it was that she hear the word of Christ declaring that she's healed. That's more important than feeling healed. It's all very well to feel healed and to go rejoicing, but how about if you wake up with a stomachache because you ate something the next day? Is it all back again? If it's only how you feel, then it might tomorrow feel differently. You can't go by what you feel, because you can feel really close to the Lord one moment and 2 days later you feel abandoned again. You know what emotions are like. You know how steady you are in your feelings of closeness to God. I mean, you know you're close to God. You believe it. But you don't always feel that way. And sometimes you feel very far from him and wonder where he is. And you have to battle with that and get back. Well, what gets you back to him and gets you back to that thing? It's his words. It's what he said to you. You go by what the word says. You go by the assurance that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Your sins, though they be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Aren't those the things that get you back when you're not feeling very close? And so she was blessed by the fact that Jesus insisted that he speak the word to her. Now, she didn't have all that we've got in the Bible, and she couldn't have interpreted it like we do, because you can't interpret what the Bible says until it happens. There are wonderful prophecies of what Jesus is to his people, but you can't understand those prophecies until Jesus goes to the cross and dies and is buried and rises again from the dead, and now you understand what has been prophesied all this time. And it wasn't fulfilled yet. So she wouldn't have what you have. You have the certainty because the Bible says so. You know it's true because it's declared. You see it's true because now you understand. It's fulfilled. It's always the problem when you try to interpret prophecy before it's fulfilled. The problem is you're always wrong. It will never happen as you thought. You'll always be wrong because God did not give us prophecy to give us tomorrow's headlines today. He gave us prophecies. He says, "I speak these things to you before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you will believe." And you have the wonderful fact of seeing it come to pass and believing. You've got a wonderful blessing to go back to the Word of God to encourage you when you tremble and when you feel far and when you don't feel that Jesus is near. The way you get back is what he said. Well, she didn't have all that we've got. It wasn't complete yet. She wouldn't understand it fully until he died and rose again. We have a great advantage over what this woman had, but Jesus did not let her go away without a word. Your faith saved you. And so she was comforted by the word of God. And if she had some stomachache the next day, she doesn't have to have a panic attack that it's all back again. She can say, "Jesus said I was healed." And she can go on. And that's the way you'll go on. You won't go on because you'll always feel steady and always feel the reality of Jesus' touch on your life. You'll go on because you believe what God has said. You know that you have come to Jesus Christ, you have believed on him. You know what the Word of God says to those that have believed on him, and you believe that whether you feel like it or not, and you're back to where you ought to be feeling again. You can't go by your feelings. What it would be like if Jesus had let her go? What good would that have done her? What peace could she have? How could she be sure? At that point, she feels healed within. But that's a good moment. What about the bad moment? What's she going to do? God was merciful to her. Look at the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He extends his power to heal us, but he gives us his word to assure us. And so he shows that in this passage. It's not enough that he healed. He gives his word to assure us. That's what we have. We have it in a fullness she didn't know, but it was enough. It was Jesus saying the word to her. That was enough. And for us, it's enough. Jesus has spoken the word to us. We believe. Well, what a wonderful thing it was. Personal encouragement. The words of Jesus to affirm what she experienced. And what a wonderful example that is to us. We lay hold of Jesus. He gives us new life. We are reassured by his word. And that's what we go on. Jesus' word to us. What a wonderful example the woman is for us. And what glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful what he could do. It's wonderful the magnificence of his life. Went about doing good. Miracles that aren't even recorded. Doesn't it say in John, Jesus did many other miracles that are not recorded in this book. But these are recorded that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. Many things Jesus did that are not recorded. But what a glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how these things give honor and praise to his name, and how these things bring you to praise him, and you to glorify his great name. Even as we do this morning, when we see the way he dealt with this poor woman, who he put through all these troubles, in order for her to be that kind of testimony, and 2,000 years later for there to be a sermon and people listening to remember the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ as he is concerned for an individual who is very weak and very embarrassed and very afraid, but who reaches forth to touch him. It's a beautiful picture, wonderful example for us, wonderful glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, wonderful strengthening of our faith. It strengthens our faith. Jesus can do the impossible. What a wonderful thing. Because we face things that look like they're impossible. And it reminds us, it's not just in places like this. He's spoken about there. Is there anything impossible with God? Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you'll glorify me. So many promises that come. Nothing is impossible. Jesus, God challenges in Jeremiah. What thing is impossible with God? And the challenge pushes us to say, nothing is impossible with God. Well, that's a picture that we have here. Even something that man couldn't help for 12 years and she couldn't do it herself and no doctors could do it, no matter how much money she spent on them. And Jesus can do it with a word. Yeah, there isn't even a word in terms of it. It's power going forth from him. With power going forth from Christ, the impossible is done. Well, that's an encouragement to our faith. Jesus, another encouragement to our faith. Jesus has a special message to be conveyed through us. What's going on in your life? Where are you struggling? What obstacles are you up against? What difficulties do you face? What impossible situation must you bear with? Why is God doing that? Why has God got you in that situation? Do you want to get God off the hook and say, oh, it's just the devil's doing this and God's trying to help me out? Come on. God is working in every trial and difficulty and problem and struggle and grief and pain. Everything you're facing is in order for God to glorify himself in your life. Has it been going on for 12 years and are you embarrassed about it? Why did God give that to you? He gave that to you to glorify himself in your life. And it's why I urge you, as a preacher of the gospel, come to him with that. And let him use that to show the wonder of who he is. It isn't that the devil's got you and God can't get you free. What is Jesus trying to pry you out of the devil's grip? No, you're in his grip. My sheep hear my voice, they follow me. I have them in my hand, and nobody can pluck them out of my hand. That's where you are. You might feel as abandoned as she did, but where are you? You're in the hand of Christ to glorify him. What an encouragement that is. That even the terrible things you're facing and the embarrassments and the struggles, failures, disappointments, all of those things are in the purposes of God to bring glory to his great name. If God can lift our vision to that, what a blessing it'll be. And how we'll lay hold of his deliverance and be ready to declare the greatness of who he is. He has a special message to be conveyed through us. He has ordained the long wait for us. If you waited a long time for God to hear, he's ordained the long wait. He ordained a longer wait for her, probably. Long wait. He's ordained the struggles out of which she would speak, even as he has for you. He's ordained the problems out of which you speak. He has ordained it. And he's done so to bring glory to his name. Wonderful encouragement to us. Wonderful strengthening of our faith. He has brought us to believe on him. Do you believe on Jesus? Do you know that he can help you? Do you believe that he can meet your need, that he cares enough, and that he's able? Do you believe that? Reach out and touch him. Call upon him. It's by faith that we receive what he has to give. Call upon him. Reach out in faith. Touch Jesus. He's brought us to believe on him, and he's called us to make known his work in us. He speaks to us words of comfort. That's a wonderful encouragement. He gives us words of comfort. Wonderful to remember that in the midst of all the struggles we have, no matter how much we feel delivered, we might not feel delivered a week from now, but his word doesn't change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. We can go back to the words that he said to us. He said to this woman, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." The word of God says that to us. Well, it's a wonderful encouragement to know that. God speaks to us words of comfort, encouragement, and hope. What are you up against this morning? What are the things you're struggling with? Maybe a loved one's struggling with something. What should they do? Could something we've heard of this morning encourage you to urge them in a special way to seek the Lord? Could you bring them to this passage and show them a person that was in this situation and how even after all that time, God's hand was in it and God was pleased to use that to glorify himself? Is there a way that that idea could be conveyed to somebody that's struggling that you know? And could you encourage them that God is in control and this is what he's doing? He's seeking to make you a trophy of his grace to show how powerful he is to meet a need just like yours. Could you tell somebody that? This is not obscure. I haven't gone to all the obscure study of detail. I've just taken what's there. Can't you take that? And can't you bring that to a friend and encourage them that even in their circumstance, Jesus is able? Even in a person that doesn't even feel worthy so much as to make himself known, Jesus is able. Well, can't you say that? Can't you use that with somebody? What a blessing. What are you up against this morning? Can't you find help in Jesus? What is somebody else up against that you love? Can't they find help in Jesus? How does Jesus intend to use that circumstance to glorify himself? How will his grace and power be displayed in you? How will you be a means of glorifying him for the next 2,000 years and then on beyond throughout all eternity? In what way will God make your life a glory to Jesus Christ? Well, that's the encouragement that we can have for this. Does it already seem too long that you've waited? Reach for him. Call upon him. See what the Lord Jesus will do. And there's word in closing to the unbeliever. And by unbeliever, I simply mean the one that hasn't tasted the reality of this yet. I don't mean by unbeliever the people that say there is no God. There's nobody here that says that. Even if in your heart you have some doubts, you certainly wouldn't say, "I'm one that doesn't believe." Is there someone that wants to say you don't believe in God? May I speak to you this morning? You've been bold to come. Is there somebody? Do you have someone that says there is no God? Well, you wouldn't say that, probably. So by unbeliever, I don't mean that. That's silly. I would say unbeliever, and I mean the atheist. What am I talking to you for then? No, I mean the person that hasn't tasted the reality of this, who hasn't known what it is to be born again by the Spirit, hasn't had the Spirit of God quickening their spirit and bringing them to a faith in Jesus, a living faith. Could there be such here? There could. And sometimes there could be people who've been a long time coming to church who still haven't tasted the reality of Jesus. So those are who I speak to when I say unbeliever. I'm not speaking to somebody else. I'm not speaking to the one who could in some way be listening, checking this church out. I am speaking to you, but I'm also speaking to us today. And I'm saying, you need Jesus. And where you are, he has ordained. And your problems are things he has brought about. And the reason he's brought them about is in order for you to glorify Jesus Christ in a way that you never imagined you could. God is going to use you in that glorious way. That's what's going on in your life. And if you haven't yet come to it, if you've got those things inside, what is Jesus doing with that? He's bringing you to himself. So come to him. Be ready to realize his delivering power and even to say it publicly and to stand for him unashamed that you're a Christian. Well, that's the message to the unbeliever. The message to the unbeliever is to become a believer and trust God for these things and follow the impulse of your heart. You know what I'm saying is true. You know there's a reality to that. You know you've missed a reality. You have a sense of that. You say it's not true. You believe it is. The atheist says there is no God. He believes there's a God. That's why he's fighting so hard. He can't escape it. There's something in us. You know that there's a God. Come to him. Lay hold of him. Be a testimony for him. Be willing. If he wants to make you have to say it publicly, be willing. If he wants you to honor him in a way that everybody looks at, do it. May God grant you grace to take a stand for Jesus. May God help you. May God bring you to see that your need, even the most embarrassing one, is one that Jesus has brought you to glorify himself. May God touch our hearts today. May God speak to every one of us. Have you heard the word that Jesus saves? He does save. Come to him. Even today. May all of us come to him with thankfulness and praise, even today. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. We thank you that we can come to you with the things that embarrass us, that we can come to you after long struggle and failure, not being worthy so much as to lift up our eyes. We can come to you. In fact, you've made us to feel these things because you want us to come. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for what you've become for us, and we thank you for the joy it is, those of us that have come to know you and have felt your touch and have been taught to declare it. It is a joy to sing your praise, Lord Jesus. It's a joy to bear testimony to what we believe. But will you help those that are yet struggling? There be some that have not yet committed themselves in that way. Oh Lord, help them especially. And then help all of us to appreciate your kindness and your goodness to us and to want to share with others. Lord, there are people around us with terrible need. People need the Lord. Help us to be an instrument to speak to them and to urge them to come to Christ and to reassure them that God can save even the likes of them. Help us to believe that and to be an instrument to gather others. Lord, be with us, we pray. Glorify yourself in our midst and help our lives to glorify you. We pray this in your blessed name. Amen.